Every Woman is a womanist show about women making a difference and the men by their side, as 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters. Women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests, and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Mid-Coast Radio Project, Incorporated.
Women's Equality Week, August 24th through August 30th. Pushing Back, Marching Forward. A week focusing on women, their history, and power at the ballot box. For more detail on individual events, go to facebook.com/womensequalitygkc.
Beginning Sunday, August 24th, from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the Waldo Library, 201 East 75th Street in Kansas City, Missouri, a presentation by Ina Montgomery, Reflections on Black Women in the Civil Rights Movement.
Monday, August 25th, 7:30 to 8:45 a.m., Women and Money. Panel discussion moderated by Carla Tillman, Women's Bureau, featuring Erica Ramirez, Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, Jacqueline Midkiff, U.S. Department of Labor and Statistics, and Judy Ansel, Department of Labor Studies at UMKC, held at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, 1 Memorial Drive.
Several times throughout the week, there will be held from 1:30 to 2:30, Women, Wages, and Equality, a panel discussion.
6 to 8 p.m., Struggling in the Land of Opportunity, a First-Person Perspective. A conversation with urban core moms, facilitated by Missouri Senator Jolie Justice, dinner and presentation, a donation at the door, RSVP to advocacy at operationbreakthrough.org. The event is held at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, 6401 Warnell Terrace.
On Tuesday, August 26th, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the Central Exchange, 1020 Central, Kansas City, Missouri, there's a dialogue, Women on Corporate Boards, Does This Make a Difference?
Wednesday, August 27th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., What's Percolating in the Kansas Legislature? A conversation with women legislators from Kansas, held at the Johnson County Library, Corinth Branch, 8100 Mission Road, Prairie Village. That afternoon from 1 to 3, What's Percolating in the Missouri General Assembly and County Elections? A conversation with women legislator and county officials from Missouri, held at the Plaza Library.
On Thursday, August 28th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., at the National Archives, 400 West Pershing Road in Kansas City, Missouri, Who's Afraid of Virginia Minor? Women's Suffrage on the Prairie, a performance in multimedia presentation, featuring Missouri State Representative Judy Morgan and former City Councilwoman Joanne Collins.
Friday, August 29th and Saturday, August 30th, Women Take Back Kansas. Women for Kansas Convention, held in Wichita, Kansas. Go to womenforkansas.org/convention.
On Saturday, August 30th, from 3 to 4 p.m., Every Woman's Show, Power of the Prairie Woman's Vote with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell on KKFI 90.1 FM.
For more details on all our events, go to facebook.com/womensequalitygkc.
And this is Sharon Lockhart in the station with Amy Bell at the Engineering Board and co-host. And we have a guest by telephone that I just heard her suspicions were right. We missed her, and we'll have to try her back. So in the studio with us is Dr. Gail James, retired from KU in Lawrence, Kansas, and also serving on the board of the Mainstream Coalition would be her main focus. She's involved with a lot of other organizations, and I see her down here at KKFI quite frequently, and she's involved with the planning, has been for several years, of the Women's Equality Week that's put on by a group of coalition of women's groups. And we are going to be focusing on Women's Equality Month. We're going to call it the Month of Women. We're going to give women a whole month. Well, one could say that perhaps we do give women 1 hour a week here
on
this show.
Absolutely, we do.
So we're getting Lynn Steffen on the line. She is from Wichita, a retired advertising executive who, with a group of women in Wichita, formed a group. And Gail, you've got the name of that, Kansas Women.
Yes, it's Taking Back Kansas, womenforkansas.org. And you may please, I hope people will look at the website. We would like to see 1,000 women come to Wichita, Kansas on Labor Day weekend, Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th for a rally and for a day-long series of forums and panels and discussions about the situation, our concerns about women and families in the state of Kansas.
And this was formed, Amy and I attended a meeting back in, gosh, now let me think how far back we went to that meeting. It must have been early spring, or
yes,
was it early spring? And probably some 40 people from around the Kansas mm-hmm. City area gathered there, and we met. Did we meet? Was Lynn Steffen there at that meeting?
No, Laura Duncan was there, who's the coordinator
okay.
for the group from Wichita.
Right. And I know they've been actively planning. And do we have Lynn on the line now?
Well, I was going to say, if Lynn is listening, her line is busy.
Oh, and I doubt if she is listening. So, because she's in Wichita, she would have to be listening at www.kkfi.org.
Yeah.
So if anybody else is listening, well, I don't know how we get through to her unless we have another telephone number.
I think I have her cell number. We can possibly try.
Okay.
But while we're doing that, let me give you a little history. About a year ago, Lynn and some of her friends in Wichita were very concerned about what was happening in the state government, and particularly as affecting women and families. And they said, what can we do? Let's put out a call and see who would show up to discuss this. And then quite a number of women came to this meeting, and they thought of a number of activities or events or things that could be efforts they could make, and they finally decided to have a convention. Let's get women to come to Wichita and talk about these issues and see what we can do, number one, and secondly, to encourage women to vote, because as we know, the women's vote is crucial, and we want to have women register to vote and get out the vote now in terms of the primary and in November. So this conference will be the weekend of Labor Day, end of August, and we're hoping, while it is a family time, it's not the whole weekend. People will still have Sunday and Monday, and if people will come to Wichita Friday evening for a fantastic rally and excitement of generating solidarity among women from the state of Kansas, and then come to a convention center and talk about these issues, tax policy, economic and fiscal policy, education, immigration, voting rights, all of the things that affect women and their families. So that's how it started. They began to develop a plan to have women come to Wichita for this convention.
And while Dr. James is dialing her home phone number, I believe, or her cell phone number, which we hope we'll be able to reach her by. We will. I'll just mention that I was with a friend today that I went through from first grade through high school with, who happens to be on the other side of the aisle from me politically, and he listens to every woman every chance he gets, but he won't have a chance today. He will not be in his big rig tractor because he is a major farmer. He does not have a radio available to him today, so he's going to miss this because I want to comment, and I'll tell him tonight, I'll see him again tonight, that I mentioned. He says that he does not believe Kansas is in as bad a shape as the Kansas City Star reports. And, of course, I would like to mention that to Lynn and get her take on that, too. And because, as Amy said earlier, too, that now firmly held beliefs replace scientific evidence, it seems. And so any comments on that, Gail?
Yes. I'm sorry it's only an hour show because well, there is so much that we could say. First of all, let me say that There are 1 million registered voters who are women in this state, 18 and years old and above, and over 500,000, half of that number, do not vote. And so if you just take that as a microcosm of the kind of support for the administration of voices that we hear, that women know that extremists have taken over, and so they're not voting. What we want is them to come out, vote, and get a sense of what their power can be. Also, I'd like you to think about that there are over 100,000 women in the Kansas City area, not just statewide, but Kansas City area, and this is partly the Women's Foundation research, that tells us of women living in poverty, single mothers living in poverty in this state. So we know that they are not getting the support they need. So whether this is tax policy, fiscal means that they have made for a red state model that's not working. We've had our Moody's status downgraded. We know that the economic upturn that we were promised is not happening. We know that education funding in public schools and in higher education are not functioning well. We know that more and more children are being encouraged to be homeschooled, for which we have less accountability. So we have serious issues that are real. I would say, in answer to your friend, to say it's much worse than has been reported. That situation, you ask any family living in the state of Kansas and Missouri, for that matter, if their status has improved, and you would say no. Whether they're homeowners, school members, community members, they know that their situation is not successful.
I believe that we do have Lynn on the phone now. Lynn, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, good. Hi.
Hey.
Good.
We just introduced you, said that you were a co-founder of a group of women who are ambitiously out there working to bring a large group of women together and help us rally to elect politicians who will represent us.
Yes, that's true.
And
16 months, that's true.
Excuse me? You said?
I said for 16 months that's been true.
You've been doing that for 16 months?
16 months.
Wow, okay. Well, and how's that movement coming along?
Oh, gosh, we're thrilled.
Oh, good.
We've got nearly 350 registrants.
Uh-huh.
We're looking for 150 more, and I'm not kidding when I tell you there are hundreds of volunteers putting this convention together. It's an enormous project, and women have stepped up readily, and it's been a terrific experience. Exhausting, but terrific.
And you'll be training down there, I suppose. Well, tell us what you will be doing down there at the convention instead of me guessing.
Well, Friday, which is August the 29th, starts out with a rally, which will be very fun. That's open to the public. Now, the convention itself, the next day on Saturday, you have to register for. But we've got a terrific band that's going to open up the rally. We're going to have speakers. Laura and her group are going to sing. We're going to have Lady Liberty. We have a wonderful little drum line, junior high kids who play on buckets rather than drums. They are terrific. And so it's going to be fun yet informative. And then Saturday at the convention, we have a lineup of absolutely fabulous speakers who will speak on taxation, what's happened to the state as far as our taxes, voting rights, education, all the things we're concerned about will be covered by the speakers on Saturday.
Let me share with you something that we were kind of filling time till we got you on the line. I was just with a friend today who said, he says, it's not that bad in Kansas, not as bad as the Kansas City Star's reporting. He said he just doesn't believe that. So what would you say to somebody who said it's not that bad in Kansas? And he's a Missourian, by the way.
Well, I'd like to know what income bracket he's in, first of all.
Well, he's up there. Yeah.
So if he owns a corporation that is an LLC or is a sub-S, he's not paying corporate taxes any longer. So he probably is pleased with what's going on in Kansas. But when our state is $330 million in the red, and it's going to take years to recover that, if we ever do recover it. And we've got services going unfunded, public schools unfunded.
Do you
think your friend is wrong?
That's what I said, Lynn. Thank you.
You think that people have lost sight of what they want provided for them from their government? I mean, it seems like when we want to cut government spending, are we cutting the police department? Are we cutting the fire services? You know, a lot of these are things that we take for granted. Have we forgotten that that's what our tax dollars are paying for?
Well, yeah, and what's happened at the state level, when the state can't help cities with funding, which they are not able to do at the level that they once were, then cities have to come up with the money themselves to fund fire departments and the police. And a lot of these small towns, they simply don't have the population, they don't have the income, and their city services are going to go, well, and I don't know what's going to happen in Wichita eventually. Well, our property taxes are going to go up. That's the only way city officials have to fund the services that we expect.
Now, one of the arguments against that is that home values are going to rise and therefore revenues will rise proportionally. Is that a satisfactory answer?
Well, it isn't to me, but I haven't seen any. I mean, I believe that, well, housing sales have increased. I do know that in Kansas, but I don't have any idea whether prices have escalated much. Kansas isn't known for having escalating real estate prices. I think we rise 4% a year or something like that. It doesn't seem adequate to me.
Well, and also keep in mind that, as I quote one of the women at our meetings that Sharon alluded to earlier in preparation for the conference, in which she said, we simply need to change the mindset. The mindset is, in current administration, in current extremist views, that what the public wants is not necessarily what they want. And so laws are passed and policy is initiated that don't reflect the will of the people. If you asked people whether they want fire or police, I think they would say they want both.
Yeah.
But they're not asked. Or if they say they want better schools or good schools, let's not even go into ranking them and just say we want good, reliable schools where students can get a good education, they would vote for that, but they're not asked that. Legislation is now on the boards, on the books that affect property values, that affect school funding, and therefore don't reflect the will of the people. So I think this is why we want people to vote and get people there that will respond to what people really want.
Well, Gail, we had talked about a little bit earlier that you had been in an administrative position at a university before. And one thing that it seems that they're doing is they're saying that not enough money is getting in the classrooms. They're spending too much money. We're putting a lot of money into schools, and it's not effective money, and not enough of it's getting into the classrooms. And then they'll turn around and say that they need more oversight in the classroom. So one of those views is that they need to cut the administration out, and the other view is we need to have more administration. Is administration playing that big of a role in our schools?
You're asking for a reasonable response, and don't forget that there's no rationale for these views, that they're reactionary. Reactive to an ideology, they don't reflect good reason and good thinking through of problems of civic engagement or public policy. And so this is why people are opting out in a way or blocking their receptors, because you can't make sense out of this. To say that it's not getting to the classroom, let's take that as an example, is inaccurate. But on the other hand, who's looking and how are they esteeming the votes or the salaries of professors or what professors do or say? These are irrelevant to what's actually happening in the classroom. But if you look at what's happening in the legislatures, I've been many times to Topeka, as I'm sure you have, Amy, you get a sense that they're not really paying attention to what voters really need. That to say we're going to create a red state model and provide economic incentives, it hasn't happened because it didn't make sense to begin with as a concept. And so this conference, this convention, was meant to have women just take note of it, to energize around these issues and to have a little more education and real information about what's happening, and to get a sense that we can do something if we set our minds to it. Don't forget that we're celebrating in August the women's gaining the right to vote. No one gave it to us. Women fought very hard. Some died in the pursuit of gaining a vote. That vote has now been suppressed. How can that happen? Do we have to refight those fights? Well, maybe we do, but we cannot do it unless we come together and say these are important issues to us.
Do you feel that when you're out talking to people, that people still understand the value of their vote?
I think there's a tremendous lot of apathy. It's discouraging, frankly, how many people don't vote, and particularly in an off-year election, which is what this particular election is. I think they're only predicting 20-25% of the voters will turn out. So those voters will make our decisions that we have to live with for the next few years. And
so we're hoping that Get Out the Vote efforts, which this conference is devoting time during its day to training people to talk to others about getting the vote out for November. The primary will be over. We'll know a little bit more of what we're dealing with at that point. But also, if you look at the state of Kansas, when I moved to Kansas some time ago, Kansas had a very reasonable and very respectable and, in fact, laudatory history. It had a very interesting history as a free state and as out there in championing good values and good views and a good life for residents.
Very pragmatic and just doing the right thing.
And so what has happened to that? Well, now we've turned a complete, I wouldn't say a reversal, I would say a reactionary step backwards. So we have to challenge the vote. We have to look for where our good schools going, what will happen with our economic and fiscal policy. So the selection of judges, that makes the quality of life enhanced when you know you have a judiciary that you can count on, because that's what they're there for. That has been impinged upon now by this administration. So all of these things make a quality of life that is being threatened. So I would say, in answer to your earlier question, Sharon, that things are worse than they were before, and also that this conference is an effort to say, let's come together, let's look at what we're dealing with, and let's make a vote count this time.
Yeah. You know, one of the frightening prospects, if we don't get the finances back at a level where the state can afford funding schools and even hospitals, there are some small towns in Kansas that could lose their schools and their hospitals.
Yes.
And, of course, most small towns are built around those very social entities, and it could be big trouble for them.
Well, what do you prescribe to try to convince people that they should exercise their right to vote, that this is not that Election Day is not a day to stay home, it's not a day to avoid those lines, but Election Day is something that, you know, when you see the other kind of America-isms out there, this freedom isn't free line and all of these things, that what that means is that your right to vote was fought for, people died for it, men and women, it wasn't just women that had to struggle to get that vote. Every one of us are able to vote because somebody fought for our right to have that vote. And
absolutely, you're absolutely right. And I think what we had to prescribe a path, I think this convention is part of that prescription, which is to say, let's come together, let's be aware, let's educate ourselves, and let's march forward. Going from there to an election period from September to November, let's see if we can get people out to vote. Let's see if we can make a difference. Because I think partly to say we want to inform the public may seem like a cliche or a not very powerful thing to say. And yet if you look at the kind of information people are receiving in our time, it's not adequate, and it really doesn't reflect reality. If you look at the 20th century, we got the right to vote, access to higher education, equal education for all genders and races. We have more equality at work. Reproductive issues were moved into a social justice climate. Discrimination and violence were dealt with in some ways. And we now have that civil rights or human rights as our watchword, and suddenly in this new century, all of that has come under fire. All of that has come under threat and under a cloud, let's say. So what we want to say to people is be aware, enough apathy, enough complaining, let's move forward in a positive way to look at what we're dealing with and to move forward and vote and make sure we have legislators that reflect who we are.
We actually have a caller with us on the line. Okay. And caller, could you tell us what your name is and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Drew in Olathe. I've you know, looked at the way that Brownback has, you know, pushed all this, you know, this agenda, and it's very much a playback or a playbook from the old days. It's the typical let's cut taxes, you know, it'll fix everything. And more than anything, what I've noticed across the board is it's very short-term gains. He's not looking at the long game. He's cut funding drastically or who knows how much from public education in terms of the colleges. And he wants all these businesses that are going to pay people a good wage coming in here, and he's been pushing. But who's going to fill those jobs? It's going to be people coming from the outside who are going to be less likely probably to stay in Kansas than people that were born here.
And who wants to move their business to Kansas when we can't offer them a public mm-hmm. education? We can't offer them good highways. We can't offer them the arts.
And health care, et cetera. Yeah,
health care. Yeah, I mean, Kansas, what we can offer them is so meager. There are 49 other states out there that they can look at. They don't have to look at us.
Well, And his plan more than anything, I don't know about you, but at his core, am I the only one who feels like he's trying to out-Texas Texas?
Yeah. No, you probably are right on target there. There seems to be a race to the bottom.
You should make a bumper sticker out of that. We can all drive around out-Texas and Texas.
Thank you, Drew, for your call. Thank you.
You know, one of the things I might mention... We've got 350 women that are coming to this convention, and the truth is we know they're going to vote. They're interested in what's going on. Well, they're committed to what's going on in Kansas. They care. But that 350 women, that's not going to change the scope of things. So we are going to introduce a voting tool at the convention that is pretty revolutionary. If they have a phone and they have a computer, they'll be able to go back to their homes and call a website and get a list of registered voter names and call them, send them an advance ballot. And we've got one woman who's already been on this system. She's made something like 313 calls or something. So she has been in touch with 313 registered voters and reminded them about the election. She sent them a ballot to make it easy on them. And it's possible that we can truly... talk to thousands of voters in the state with these 330 women and hopefully 500.
That's going to be very exciting and very important. It'll be interesting to follow that up and see the effect of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, voting is cool.
I think that's the message
you
need
to get across
there. That's the better bumper
sticker, yeah.
Yeah.
Voting is cool.
Yeah, it makes you feel important. It does. You're right.
Well, let me just tell you a few of the comments that women said in some of our meetings in preparing for the convention, which is that if the moderate voice is not being heard, how do we make it heard? And this woman went on to say, that's why I'm here. I don't know what you're going to do exactly or tell me about this evening, but I'm really interested because I feel the moderate voice or the average voice of people is not being heard. In particular, the women's voice is not being heard. And it doesn't mean that women all think alike. We do not. We have quite a spectrum of views. But what we really want to say is, well, then let's reason it through together. And that's what elections are and participatory democracy is about. So that's really what's crucial. Of course, there are other women who said more dramatic things, and one who said, my blood is boiling. I have to do something because there's so much damage being accrued here now in our schools and in our communities. So we have a spectrum from to encourage the moderate voice and also to take a look at what's happening to women, because don't forget, what happens to women affects all families. It is not just a separate entity that we're dealing with.
Well, we've only got two choices.
Yes.
It's either the present administration or a new administration and new legislators. That's the only way it's going to change. So, I mean, I think there's moderation being offered, and it's a matter of making sure that they get in office.
Your convention is taking place after the primary election.
Yes.
So have you been trying to work within the primaries?
We did
as
offer
well?
A voter guide for the primaries. It wasn't complete. But, I mean, because the primary elections include so many districts, we have not researched it as we'd hoped we could. But,
it's very good, though, Lynn.
I do
have a copy here right in front of me, which
yeah.
I'll pass on to Sharon and Amy, who are very interested in elections. It's quite good, and I think the next pass at it could be more fulsome, but it's
yeah.
quite good.
Yeah. Right. And it's been appreciated. We've had a lot of people thank us for the effort that went into that.
Well, for those people, and there are so many of them because I talk to them also, they'll talk about how the political atmosphere is affecting them, but then I ask them if they vote, and they don't vote.
And, yeah, exactly.
And I beg them to please vote, and they just
yeah.
turn a deaf ear to me, men and women, and it's just so discouraging. And I was just wondering if maybe if I carried a voter registration or carried more
mm-hmm.
than one voter registration
yeah.
card with
mm-hmm.
me, if something like that would be a help. I'd never thought of it.
Yeah, that would be a positive thing to do.
Please,
it would be.
Do
yeah.
me a favor and fill this out. Yeah.
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 Well, and of course there's advanced ballots, too. I mean, I don't know how much of the state is now voting in writing as opposed to going to the polls, but it's a big percentage. And I've been encouraged that perhaps that was a way to get more people to vote.
Well, I want to interrupt this conversation because I just had a phone call
yes.
from a listener that wanted to know how the public can get a hold of your voting guide. And it is a nice comprehensive guide.
Yeah, if they go to our website, which is www.womenforkansas.org, it's listed there. And then we're also on Facebook, and I believe it's even on Facebook, but the website would be the place to look.
And that is www.womenforkansas. That is an actual proper
yeah.
word spelled out. That
Women
for
one word, yeah.
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 .com.
Yes.
It's .org.
.org. Thank you.
.org.
Yeah.
Because we want people to know, as Sharon reminded me of this wonderful citation from Audre Lorde, that your silence will not protect you. You are not protected by not voting, and that voting is a crucial element of our society. And so we're hoping that is one way we can make a difference. There are other ways, aren't there, Lynn? We can come together. We can have this convention every year. We
yes.
can write letters to our legislators, to the newspapers, to our Facebook friends. We can do a lot of effort to communicate how we feel about these issues. And don't forget the other side. There are many, many sides to issues. But some sides are more vocal than others and appear to be more powerful than others. And so we want our voice to be heard as well.
Yes.
Have another caller on the
okay.
air. And, caller, could you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Mary from Kansas City.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling in. I was listening to the talk about Kansas wanting to out Texas, and a few months ago, Jobs Now put on a really excellent event called something like the Border Wars, and it was looking at Kansas and Missouri, and I tried to look in my phone to find it, but there was a really excellent woman from some organization in Kansas who spoke about why this will so not work in Kansas. Like in a state like Texas, they have a lot of oil and they have a lot of tourism. So they can get by without income tax, but that in states like Kansas, it's just not possible. Anyway,
I've read that too.
May be totally set for the conference, but I realize I'm not giving you any real information when I don't remember exactly who the woman was or what her organization was. But Sharon, I bet you would be able to easily find out. You may have been there.
No, I wasn't, but we can look into that and Google it and surely figure it out if we go back to jobs now.
Thank you. That's good information.
I'm on it right now, actually.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
The other state that they cite that doesn't pay any taxes is Florida. And, I mean, it's got natural resources and beauty, and it's the tourism mecca, and it's like Texas as far as its ability to generate money without taxes. So,
well,
I mean, neither of those states are relevant to Kansas.
What would it help if we built a large destination theme park?
The Kansas City has one.
That's right. We're, Disney
that
World.
Water park and.
The Disney World.
Well, how about
on
the
prairie?
Wizard of Oz? We could do the Wizard of Oz.
That, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You may have a fabulous idea here.
No, I don't think so. I mean, that thousands of people would have to be able to flock to this on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You got your Gulf Coast in Texas. You got your Pacific and your Gulf Coast in, or your Atlantic and the Gulf Coast in Florida. I go someplace, I want water, big water, lots of water.
Kansas is a state they drive through to get there. So.
Yeah, right.
Well, and don't forget that this red state model, which generated out of a wish to create red states versus blue, is now predominant in the South. Kansas is now a leader in what this red state model has initiated here. And yet, the evidence is in. It is not working. None of the data support this this ideology. And so if you look at it from a reasonable academic point of view, you'd have to say the statistics don't add up. Not only are we not like Texas and or Florida, we are not like any other red state either, which has extremely low levels and much more poverty and much more lower levels of an educated workforce, et cetera. And so we have a unique opportunity to change that and to say not only does the red state model not work, I've did to prepare for this a little research even in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times are all acknowledging The Guardian in Britain. This does not work. It does not add up. And so, therefore, we can call it a failure, and now we'd like to ask that we have a chance to repair this damage and to say, what does that mean in terms of red state model? It means, basically, that ideology trumps public policy and that religion will play a role, that taxes need to be as lower for higher earners. This is not good for the average person, and it does not make for a quality of life for everyone in the state. And also increase private sector funding for education. This is not helpful to us because it's so elusive and unreliable, and there's no accountability. And so if you add into all those factors, we can say that Kansas is not showing itself to be very strong in this moment.
But will this show up as a win for Brownback, who's probably still got his eye on the presidential election? Is this what he's thinking, that it's going to show that he can out Texas Rick Perry or something?
That's speculation. Yeah.
Does it help him if he loses the governor race? Yeah.
Ooh, that might not be in his favor.
Well, according to the polls, it doesn't appear to be.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, he's trailing. If the polls are on target, and it's something like 6 points. So that's significant for a sitting governor.
Yes, because it's really not, as you said, Lynn, earlier, it's really arts and other aspects of life that have been defunded and mistreated, maligned. And you say to yourself, how can this be an executive mindset that makes for good public policy and that can go on to a state office again and then to a national office? No, it doesn't make sense.
It's been self-serving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, could there be a lot of money coming in suddenly to pump up the misleading advertising?
I don't think it's going to be sudden. I think it's anticipated.
Oh, okay.
I think
so
it's on its way.
It's going to be here.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
We're
anticipating.
So it's going to take feet on the ground and the commitment of a lot of precinct leaders and party leaders of both parties, because there are people on both sides of this that are very disenchanted with what's going on in Kansas.
Yeah. I will tell you, and I know that you're aware of this wonderful article that appeared in the Eagle, and actually I think it had statewide coverage by Mark Peterson. That
yes,
women
I have it in front of me.
I'll
share it with Sharon and Amy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have a quote you wanted to read from that?
No, I didn't. Gail maybe.
Oh, okay.
But
great.
People around the state recognize the importance of women to this election. I mean, we're 50% of the state. There are about 1 million women, and there are about 1 million men. And our lives have been impacted, a lot of us as homemakers and the people who care for disadvantaged children and who send kids to school. Our lives are changed in ways sometimes that men's are not. And this is really an important election to us and to our families. And this wonderful article Peterson wrote.
Yeah, Gail's got the quote here.
I will just cite that. I mentioned earlier that there are 1 million women aged 18 and older in Kansas, according to the most recent U.S. Census.
Mm-hmm.
Of that number, half voted. So that's 500,000 women who did not vote. And so you say to yourself, this can change the way the state goes very easily if women would vote, because the women's vote obviously is focused on family issues, which has to do with economic self-sufficiency, economic well-being, good schools, reliable roads, well-lighted roads, etc. And so this makes a difference. And what Mark Peterson from the Wichita Eagle goes on to say,
he's actually from Topeka.
Oh, is
it
that right?
It appeared in our paper,
great. Okay, I did not know that. Many of those women who are less likely to vote are those from economically fragile female heads of household and young single women. These are people whose fates are often deeply affected by public policy, school nutrition programs, public daycare programs, arts in the schools, Pell Grants, student loans, job training, Medicare, welfare, food stamps, disability support, protective services, child support payment, enforcement, anti-discrimination, in employment. Many of these policy issues for these women, so female heads of households and single women, many of these public policy issues are not addressed in this administration and will not be addressed unless we make a change. So I think he did us a great service. It's a good article, and we can post it on the website.
And we must reach out. I mean, there's so many of us and people in Kansas and Missouri who are listening. We need to be ambassadors for telling people that their vote can count, but they have to use it. You know, I'd like to win the lottery, but before I do that, I have to buy a ticket. And
then your chances are
one still,
in 100 billion.
I think my voting chances are far better than buying a lottery ticket. You know, but it's so important that we do that. And how does anybody have an idea? And Amy, you might. How would I get a bunch of registration cards so that I can be a citizen out there registering voters?
Well, if you're listening in the Johnson County area, I know you can go to jocoelection.gov.
That's right. And you have, of course, the League of Women Voters, Mainstream Coalition. Everything's on the website of these wonderful organizations, Mainstream Coalition, League of Women Voters, the Johnson County Election Commission.
And then the voters' offices, too,
yes.
They can just walk in the door.
And we need to take a short pause here and have a little station break.
We're back on the air with Dr. Gail James and Dr. Alice Kitchen, who just joined us, and she's going to be making an announcement, and she's very heavily involved in the Women's Equality Week and Women Taking Back Kansas. And on the line from Wichita is Lynn Steffen, who is a co-founder of the group of women that have been working for 16 months to put on a conference in Wichita coming up Labor Day weekend. And tell us again that where they can find information about that.
Yes, our website is www.womenforkansas.org.
And also you're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. Now, I don't know how to use Twitter, but we're there.
Oh, I'm not a Twitter either. And, Gail, did you have a comment you wanted to make about the upcoming event? Or
Yes, I want to remind people, if they're interested, please go to the website. Please register. You will find it a life-enhancing time. And if you're concerned about transportation, if you register and then let us know, we'll know who you are. We're trying to arrange some means for people. We can rent some vans or get people to go together. Also, think about, while there is a registration factor, if you join with your friends, there's a lower rate. So think about what you can do to get there. Those of you who have means, if you'd like to provide some scholarship funding for students and others who can't get there, please do so, because it's really a worthwhile event. And then thirdly, I would mention that we are trying very hard to have 1,000 women come to the rally. If you're of a mind, please drive to Wichita, come to the rally, be festive with us, energize yourself and your friends, and you can still drive home if that's what you'd like to do. So
you
think
know,
about
and Gail, everybody's invited to the rally.
Absolutely.
It's not just women only. It's families, kids, husbands.
Thank you for mentioning that. Good. Yes,
yeah.
I forgot that.
Yes, because as women, I think we are more likely to take care of the other people around us, and half of those other people are men, and we happen to be their mothers and their grandmothers and aunts, and so we're looking out for everyone, and it's sometimes we don't look out for ourselves, and now's a time for us to do that.
Very good.
You know, I might
sure
mention
we vote.
This website, we've got several topics that people can investigate and learn more about. But the most heavily trafficked site is the one called Honorary Chairs. And early on, we made an effort to contact... We didn't want this to be a Wichita-only convention. We knew it needed to be a statewide convention because, I mean, the state is the beneficiary of the administration, or not. And so... I just wanted to mention a few of these women who are so incredibly respected and well-known in their communities who are honorary chairs. Rochelle Cronister from Neodache, Judith Deedy from Mission Hills. She's the director of Game On for Kansas Schools. Val DeFever from Independence. Sheila Fromm from Colby. Certainly Gail from Overland Park. She's an honorary chair. Judith Coger, who's from Matfield Green, and she is in the Flint Hills and held the first symphony in the Flint Hills back in 1994. She's quite an amazing woman, too. I mean, these are all amazing, well-respected women. Ethel Peterson from Dodge City, Sandy Prager from Lawrence, and then we have several Wichita honorary chairs as well, but... It's impressive to know so many influential women have given this convention the nod.
Great. Well, thank you, Lynn, for joining us today. And we have just a wee bit of time left. And I think, and we'll give this website out again. We have Alice Kitchen has joined us, and she's got something coming up that she wants to share with us. And she's a planner in, of course, Women's Equality Week. And I'm sure she's registered to be at the conference.
She
in
is.
Kansas,
yes,
too.
Yes,
yes,
I am.
I knew that. I knew that. And then maybe we can talk about something that's out there on the internet. It's Why I Don't Need Feminism. It's on Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. I don't know what Tumblr is, but that's where it is. And there's also one on Cats Against Feminism, too, that you might look up because it's a hoot. But we might come back with some talk about why some women think they don't need feminism, and it might be kind of depressing. So just a pre-warning. But Alice, go ahead.
Well, I am glad to be here among good company. Hi, Lynn, out there.
Hey, Alice.
I'm here to tell you a little bit about network and the event coming up this Thursday at Community Christian Church, 4601 Main. Starts at 7 p.m. And the nun on the bus, you've heard of nuns on the bus traveling across the Middle Atlantic states, California, and the border. Well, we have the head of Network, the National Religious Lobby Group. This group has been recognized throughout the country for making a difference. And Sister Simone is the executive director. She will be here. It's open to the public, as I said, at 7 p.m. And we'll have some responders there and questions and answers. It is free. We hope that you all will come. And you'll hear about Medicaid expansion. You'll hear about her own book that she just published and her journey. You'll hear about the faithful budget. And the concept of the faithful budget is that it's a contract with us, with the American people. It is a budget that is for the people. It's not for the corporations and the big moneyed interests, but it is about the marginalized people, the people in poverty, and those without the resources to get an adequate education. She will also be talking about reform in immigration and refugee reform. I had the good fortune of being in D.C. a week ago on the Hill with the Loretto Sisters and Network staff, talking to elected officials, our own as well as others, about refugee reform. And in many ways, the sisters have been doing this work for years and years, and there are immigration attorneys that have been doing this. So we need to respect their experience and not make it a panic call. She'll talk about all of those, and we hope you can come. And so I'll just remind you, it's this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. at Community Christian Church.
Thank you, Alice. And this just reminded me, at the end of June, I was in Albuquerque with Pat Roos.
Oh, yay.
And she said that you often had a drink when you came to D.C. Did you have a drink together this time?
Not this time. I didn't see her, but she's been a very strong advocate nationwide and worldwide, so I'm glad you met.
Yes. Oh, I'd met her a long time ago because she's been an advocate in NOW and, and forever, and National Organization for Women, that is, and reminded me how instrumental you were. You and she were in COBRA for women getting health insurance after divorce. When they divorced their husbands, now they can have 3 years of health coverage.
Or their husbands left them with no coverage due to finding another person, or retirement, disablement, or imprisonment.
Right. So you've been out there in the trenches for a long time, and we are honored to have you in our midst. And right here in Kansas City, we have so many wonderful
women.
We
do.
Yes,
we
do.
We are fortunate.
Amy, let's hear some of those comments from those, I would like to call them bimbos. Is that bad, Amy? Amy keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, that is absolutely the wrong thing to call somebody.
Okay, I won't
ever
call them that. Okay.
Well, I don't know if people have seen the Women Against Feminism, but one of the things that come up there is, I reject feminism because I am not a victim. I don't need feminism because I enjoy being a homemaker. I reject feminism because I hate no one. over and over again, there is this message that feminism is about apparently world domination, and possibly I've been going about this wrong as this feminist thing. Apparently I should have been aiming higher, and maybe like a volcano layer somewhere would be appropriate, looking at the way these women think that we are maniacally looking to overthrow men and toss them out to sea. And
you know what's alarming is the number of women's studies departments around the country that are either greatly reduced or closing.
Well, so it's becoming apparent, I think. And they will say that I reject feminism because I believe in equality of all human beings. And that one really grates on me, because the definition of feminism is the advocacy of women's rights on the grounds of political, social, and economic equality to men. Or Merriam-Webster says, the belief that men and women should have equal rights and opportunities. Wikipedia even says that it's about equality between women and women, and Wikipedia, we know, is not always correct. The Urban Dictionary says that it's about women having equality to men. I am wondering who is telling these people otherwise.
And the one that got me, and I don't know why, is I don't believe in feminism, or I don't need feminism, because I want a man to respect me. And that one just leaves me like, what?
And the millennials, I think there are a lot of young men who are feminists. I mean, among the younger people, I've heard that things are changing.
Well,
but this sounds like it's coming from a young kind of point of view.
They're kind of changing along the terms of they want to use the term humanist.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the struggle with millennials and feminism is having been taught their whole lives that they are equal already. That equality is here, it's happened, and you need to stop complaining about things that happened to you, because anything that happens to you would have happened to a man in the same situation.
Well, wages don't bear that out.
And unfortunately, yeah. Thankfully, I think some of these women have not been in an experience or witnessed someone else being in the experience where they're getting paid less than a coworker, mm-hmm. or where they're watching a judge berate a woman
In the courtroom
for no apparent reason other than being female. It still happens today. It still happens. And fortunately, I think these women haven't experienced that. And let's hope they don't. But
or if they did, would they recognize it? Are they so blinded by this ideology that they don't know?
Well, I think that's part of it. Yes, they don't know, because they've been inculcated with a mindset that is targeting feminists, and so this is a way to do that. It's a way to say feminism isn't important, and so it's redefining feminism downward. So what we have to do is simply
remind them, speak proudly,
wear the label proudly, and say this is what it means, this is what it looks like, this is what it is for women to...
And then if they look scared, we should give them a hug. Don't fear.
Amy, you're a darling woman to say that, because there are a lot of people out there that I don't want hugs.
I bit my tongue.
We have to wrap this up. We are dangerously close to the end of the show, and I want to tell everybody thank you for coming on today.
And thank you to our callers and listeners, and we'll be back next week. And upcoming is Donna Wolf with Urban Connection, followed by MC Richardson, and guess who's coming to Kansas City?
Great.